Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Once again, this is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. Today's episode is Show and Tell 15. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. I hope by now you guys get how these kind of episodes work. These are some of our favorites to do. Just a quick recap for those of you who are maybe new to the show, and I kind of like explaining this every time. It makes me feel...
It reminds you what this is, right?
Yeah, it makes me feel like a veteran. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of so scatterbrained with these episodes. So essentially what Show and Tell is, Carl and I each bring in about 9 to 11 tracks that the other person hasn't heard. And these are things that we've just been listening to, you know, throughout the last few months, or a specific game track that we've researched and are excited to talk about. And we bring it in to share it with the other person live on the podcast.
Now, get their reaction.
I've never heard any of the tracks that Carl... I mean, maybe I've heard them, but I don't know,
you don't
what
know
he's
what they
gonna
are.
Play.
We're not prepared for
and
the other
he doesn't know what I'm gonna play. And one little funny thing that's happened, just must be the nature of our relationship, is we've gotten pretty competitive. So now Carl and I try to outdo each other when we prepare these playlists.
Which means for the listener, Show and Tell episodes always have awesome playlists, so it rewards you guys as the listener. You guys are going to be treated to some great music today.
And of course, we always have to do rock, paper, scissors to battle for who gets their video posted for track of the week.
The true track of the week.
Eventually,
absolutely.
We need to do something more epic than rock, paper, scissors.
Eventually, we'll have to, I don't know,
like
gladiator
Bobo, ski,
style.
Ski, Watten, Totten or something.
Well, Will, this opening track we're playing in with was your first pick. We're each doing 10 picks today. What is this, Will? This is amazing.
This is from Star Wars The Old Republic.
I should have known.
This is actually a game I've been playing a lot lately. It's the first MMO I've ever played, and I really love it. I mean, only Star Wars would get me to delve into a genre that I'm not familiar with, but I just fell in love with the music because it walks this fine line of immersing you in the world of John Williams, but also giving you something new that you haven't heard before.
For sure.
It's something that composer Mark Griske has done a lot because...
But this isn't Griske, is it?
I don't believe this track is. There were three composers on this game: Jesse Harlan, Mark Griske, of course, and Lenny Moore.
Awesome.
Those are the three composers who are credited to the soundtrack. I don't know who did this specific track in particular. I'm pretty sure it's Jesse Harlan, but nevertheless, the three of them did a wonderful job, and it's just great to sort of get new original Star Wars music that's done.
Well, isn't Jesse Harlan, didn't he do the special edition music for Monkey Island? I'm pretty sure that was,
I do believe
that was
so,
that
yeah.
guy, yeah.
LucasArts.
Yeah, so. this is really well done. It's really sad that, you know, we're not going to get a lot of these Star Wars, or maybe we are going to get more Star Wars
I think
Wars
we're
going
to get new Star Wars games.
Maybe. Let's hope. But yeah, that's a great way to start off today's episode. So that was Will's first pick in a lot of ways. So now I think it's time for me to start things off
in
with
every
my
way,
first
really.
Pick. In every way possible. All right. Will, do you remember this soundtrack, Shining in the Darkness?
Was it from the Shining series?
It is from the Shining series. It was the first game on the Genesis, but it's not Takenouchi. It's Masahiko Yoshimura. A really great soundtrack that was just densely packed with great music. And this is a track that I've loved for a long time, but we haven't included it. We didn't include it on that episode, and I've never played it before. So I'm excited for you to hear. It's a very soft and sweet piece of music. It's the intro theme of the game. This is Welcome to Storm from Shining in the Darkness. To start things off on a very sweet and cute note. This is Welcome to Storm from Shining in the Darkness, very contrasting to most of the music in this game and series, by Masahiko Yoshimura. Will, what are your initial reactions to this piece of music?
Not what I was expecting at all. I mean, it's been a long time since our Shining Force episode, but I just really love this. I guess I wasn't expecting something that was so lyrical and lullaby.
It reminds me of Koji Kondo's lullabies. That's one of the reasons I picked this, is because the simplicity but power of the melody. It's such a simple, childlike melody, but it's enjoyable for adults, too.
Well, and that instrument sort of sounds like a music box. It's very, child-friendly is absolutely right.
It's also cool because you don't often hear this kind of soft, sweet music on the Genesis.
Also,
it's so rare.
Why I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the Shining Force series really does kind of seem almost oblivious of its own context.
Absolutely.
Which is something I really love about it. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that, you know, being on the Genesis is necessarily a context for the music, but I think, you know, for this podcast, definitely when we're looking at systems that, you know, have been sort of dead for a long time, we start to kind of just see trends like, oh, I know what I'm going to expect when I hear a Sega Genesis track. Right. And so it's really fun when, even to this day, you know, you can still be kind of surprised by something that happened, you know, maybe 20 years ago.
And this is one of the tracks. There's a couple today where it's really just getting it out of my system. I've had it in my backlog for so many months that finally get to share this.
What always happens is it'll be like the week after we do a Show and Tell episode, and I'm like, oh, I would love to play this. And then I usually forget them, but I think I remembered a lot of the ones
Good.
That I wanted
Well,
to play.
I think that leads us to your next pick, Will.
So, speaking of what I was just talking about, the last episode we had, I think it was like right after I got this game for Christmas, and it's called Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite games I've played in the whole last year. I really love it. This game is... has a wonderful presentation and aesthetic, especially considering that it's a Nintendo game. I mean, sometimes a Nintendo game presentations can be sort of hit or miss, but I loved everything about this game. And something that I thought was sort of a treat was listening to the music. It's always fun to play a new Mario game when we're working on an original Mario album. So something I was definitely listening out for would be to see how the composer, who, I mean, everybody loves Mihiro Yokota, would approach writing some new music. And so I'm going to play two tracks from this game, but the first thing I'm going to play, I guess you could call it, it's sort of like a map theme, but this game doesn't really have maps. It's more just like you select the level. So this track is called The Book Second Episode, and this is composed by Mihiro Yokota from Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. So that was The Book Second Episode, composed by Mihiro Yokota. And yeah, and the thing that I really love about this is it feels so much like Mihiro Yokota is very comfortable in the world of Mario
at this point. Yeah,
but somehow it just felt so different to me, because just having been in that sort of Koji Kondo headspace myself, I felt like I was almost listening to a collaborator in a sense, because in a way, it's sort of like we're going for the same thing, trying to write new music that can fit into this sort of well-established world. And I was just really impressed by this theme. I would kind of stay on the screen for a while and
try
to listen to it. I really like that B section, how he takes that little theme. I think that's really good. The A section melody, I'm not the craziest about.
It's a little bit all over the place.
It feels a little familiar, though. It kind of reminds me of something
For me,
from like Super Mario Sunshine or something.
For me, what won me over was that very small but fast series of notes.
That felt great.
That's Mario.
Classic Mario.
Feels like Koji Kondo. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Honestly,
and the chords in general just kind of, you know, they felt like a classic map theme.
I hate seeing this, but I am surprised that this music isn't like really bad. Like, for a game like this, it just, I never would be expecting like really well done music.
The game is so much more than meets the eye. I mean, I really thought they outdid themselves. There's a lot of cool music in it. There's a lot of reusing of tracks from 3D World and 3D Land, but the music is great. And all the arrangements that they do on that little Captain Toad theme is really quite incredible.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I wasn't expecting this kind of pleasing, fun to listen to music. Like, I guess when I heard this game was coming out, I was kind of assuming it would be some of the more obnoxious side of like the aught Nintendo games, you know, like, I guess that's kind of what I was expecting with like this side game. I definitely didn't really think that Mihiro Yokota would be involved. So that's so cool that he definitely put a lot of heart and soul into this game.
You almost get none of that kind of side of it. I mean, a lot of it is arrangements of that Captain Toad theme, which in and of itself is kind of an interesting case because it's like a theme that was made over several games. Like you get the, in the Galaxy games, but then there's this little melody that comes da 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 da,
which is so good,
which came from 3D World, and then it's like in this game they expand on that even more. So it's kind of, it sort of has developed
the evolution of
theme.
Captain Toad. All right, time to move on to my next pick. I'm really excited about this one. This is from a Game Boy game called Toki Tori. And the composer,
I've heard of Toki Tori.
Yeah, and I think there was other versions too, like maybe for the Wii and for other systems, but originally came out for the Game Boy in I think 2001. And it was really hard for me to find the composer. It's not like widely credited. You really kind of have to dig deep, and I found his
website.
Yeah, you
find that with, it seems like Game Boy games in particular.
So I found his website, and luckily it's credited there. This is Chris J. Hampton. Never heard of this guy ever. Didn't do a lot of video games, but man, does he have a command of the Game Boy hardware. So this is a track called Creepy Castle from Toki Tori. Cool instrument switching. You guys are listening to Creepy Castle from the Game Boy game Toki Tori by Chris J. Hampton. Yeah, this one really feels imaginative, and I'm not hearing any limitations when I'm listening to this. It's so expressive, and it really kind of gets my imagination going. It's so impressive when composers are able to do that on hardware such as the Game Boy or the NES, and even in the 2000s that we're still doing that, I just think is such a blast, and it makes me really proud of, you know, the video game industry and video game music, that people are still finding cool and like impressive ways to make interesting music on this limited hardware. Like, this doesn't sound like anything you've heard on the Game Boy before, like in the heyday of it. But it doesn't necessarily sound like just like a chiptune, like a modern chiptune. I don't know. It's a, kind of this balance between something that feels like for a game, but it also feels injected with this modern flair.
Totally. I think that's a really good point. And I really like this track. I think it's totally spot on what you said.
Nice job, Chris Hampton. All right, well, it's time to move on to your next pick.
I'm
going to
do my second track from Treasure Tracker. This one I'm even more excited about. The last one I wanted to play because, to me, that one was sort of an interesting experience I had kind of feeling like I could almost like be inside Yokota's head, being able to identify the choices he was making. But this is a track where I'm just in awe of his brilliance. This is another one of his, I don't know how to describe it, but this is the compositional style that he uses in certain tracks in the Super Mario Galaxy games. He's done it in 3D World. I describe it as that beautiful spacey jazz ambience.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And you get a couple tracks like that in this game, and it's
I remember
so
when I was
special.
Watching you play that one time, I remember hearing some of those.
Exactly. So without further ado, I want to take a listen to Universal Unary Unison, composed by Mihiro Yokota. Thank you. I don't know how he does it. This is universal unary unison.
It's so galaxy-ish.
Isn't it?
The same instruments, same compositional techniques.
I don't even think it is some of the same instruments. It is very similar spacey pads, mm-hmm. but that's what I thought when I was playing through the game, just because of how it was like, oh my gosh, it's
I guess
one of
he's
these
using
tracks.
It in the same
but
way.
But yeah, when I compare and contrast, it's different instruments, which further solidifies the fact that he just has such a unique compositional approach.
Yeah, and one of the cool things is that the Galaxy soundtrack, this side of it, was completely brand new.
Yeah.
Koji never did anything like this.
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
like, although you had the orchestral stuff that felt like it was traditional, this is almost, in some ways, my favorite side of the Mario Galaxy series, as far
right.
as like having its own identity.
Yeah.
And it's so fun that Mihiro Yokota is now obviously so fluent, so comfortable in that style.
This is the Galaxy side
yeah,
of Super
this
Mario
is Galaxy,
Galaxy
yep.
rather than the Mario side of it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's so wonderful, and I feel like at this point, it's like this music is so beloved. In any Mario game he works on, he kind of throws these in just for like fan service, because there was, I remember playing through
3D World
the
yeah.
first time, and there's that one track, and I was so excited. Like, I had no mm-hmm. idea I was going to get anything like that. And with all this stuff, I feel like they just keep sort of hinting that there's going to be another Galaxy game.
Was 3D World an historic game? Was that the first time there was a Mario game that had live instruments on map themes? Because Galaxy, the map themes
Galaxy,
were MIDI.
Galaxy 2 had a couple map
okay.
themes that had live instruments.
Okay.
There was a string orchestra, I think, in the special world. And I think there was like some real instruments.
Okay.
But yeah, for the most part, it's always been kind of synth stuff.
Awesome, awesome. All right, it's time to move on to my third pick of the day. I'm going to play a track from the recently released World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor, and I'm going to play a track called Family, and it was the standout track. I listened to the whole soundtrack. I think this is really beautiful. Lots of composers, some familiar names for us for the podcast, but the entire list here, we have Russell Brower, Neil Acree, Clint Bajakian, Sam Carden, Craig Stewart Garfinkel, Ido Gudadi, and Ymir Noon.
So two-thirds of the LucasArts Dream Team have worked on the World of Warcraft series, because we have
yes,
Peter McConnell and
right.
Clint Bajakian.
So let's take a listen to this cool track called Family. Nice combination of virtual instruments and real performance here. Listening to Family from World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor, composed by a bunch of talented composers, including a favorite of the podcast, Clint Bajakian. Lots of really talented composers worked on this soundtrack. I think this is a really beautiful track. It's very familiar. The Gaelic influence is something that is just all over games that are set in this kind of era. Something that is supposed to feel timeless. But it's always impressive when a track can still kind of go in new directions, can still explore that very familiar emotion. And this doesn't really, to me, it doesn't really feel just like phoning it in by the books. It still
oh, no.
feels like there's a lot of heart and soul in this.
Absolutely. It definitely reminds me of Howard Shore,
mm-hmm.
if I would compare it to any film composer.
Absolutely.
I'm curious about this new section that's
this
just
This section
been
is really cool. Let me fade this up for a little bit here. Yeah, one of the great things about where we're at now in 2000, this I think 14, but now we're in 15, is almost every game that comes out that features sequenced orchestral instruments, the quality is, the sequencing is so great. I mean, this is almost at the level of like something like Oblivion, you know, it's just really on the nose. It really feels realistic. Right. We're not really going to hear a lot of fakey sounds really anymore for the most part, especially for Hopefully. A big budget game.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So, really cool stuff. All right, Will, handing it over to you
again.
Well,
speaking of fakey sounds, Tom, this is another track that I've been gunning to play for a long time. You'll be able to tell the headspace I've been in for the last few months just because of this Mario album. But one of my favorite composers is Kazumi Tataka.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd always heard that Yoshi's Story was a game that was not particularly that good.
There's some great stuff
but
in there,
the music
musically.
That I knew in it, having never played the game, the mm-hmm. music that I knew, I had really liked. I mean, there's some wonderful melodies, including the Yoshi, the main like Yoshi theme. Da, da, da,
which
da,
is
da,
so
da,
iconic.
Da, da, da. So when I was in sort of a Kazumi Tataka kick a few months back, I was going through that soundtrack and I found just a wonderful piece of music. It totally feels Koji Kondo, but it also kind of reminds me of something like Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. I think you're really going to like it. But I've been excited to share this with you, Carl. This is called Baby Bowser's Lullaby from Yoshi's Story. This is Baby Bowser's Lullaby and one of my favorite melodies from Yoshi's Story. I think he just does such a wonderful job and such an interesting approach at sort of a villain melody. I think it absolutely captures that kind
that
of feeling
so
that
fun.
You need
Da-da-da-da-da.
For... Yeah, for
Makes
like
you
a,
wait so long.
Right. Yeah, that's something I really love. Because I imagine this is like played where there's dialogue mm-hmm. happening. But yeah, I think he really does a good job of capturing sort of Bowser and sort of the musical traditions.
And also he does a really good job of winking and paying tribute to Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. I mean, such an obvious nod to that. And there's a lot of humor anytime musically when composers do that. But sometimes it's just kind of like sometimes you'll see things on like Mad TV or SNL where it's like they're purposely doing something so close, but it's like it's not like a good piece of music. Right. This, if let's say there is a world, alternate universe where that didn't exist, this is great. Like, this is a great piece of music, and it definitely could stand on its own for maybe a child who wouldn't be familiar with that Tchaikovsky
piece.
Well,
and to be completely fair, if this wasn't played on a celeste, I don't think anyone would say
the
anything
rhythms.
About
The rhythms are very similar.
Obviously, I think that's true, but I think it definitely has its own independence as a melody, and I don't know, I was so stunned when I heard this. I absolutely
yeah,
love
there's,
this
there's
piece.
No denying that it is a specific, you know, purposeful nod to that, but yeah, I think what's so great about this track is that it does stand on its own musically. It goes in very different directions, and that section one, the whole orchestra comes in, it's pretty darn good sounding for N64, and yeah. very different than what I would expect from Yoshi's Story. I mean, from the tracks I've heard are, you know, very simple and tropical and more child-friendly.
Yeah, I just think this is... I think it was just kind of... I was sharing this with Marty because we were sort of having a conversation, obviously, about kind of Mario music and Yoshi music, mm-hmm. and he had recently composed his theme for the Yoshi Island Castle, and this really reminded me of the music that he wrote for that. So
yep, absolutely. Oh, I hear that. Cool. I'm excited about this. I'm now going to move on to Kirby Mass Attack. This is a game that came out for the DS, and this was composed by the wonderful Shogo Sakai, as well as Masaki Iwasaki. We're going to play the first stage theme, never played on this podcast before. This one takes a little bit to get into it. Once the melody comes in, for me, it really kind of won me over. But the intro is fairly goofy. This is Meadow Breeze from Kirby Mass Attack. Love this piece. This melody has been in my head for the past 2 days. It's just such a solid melody. The dun 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 dun, and then that one section where it has those meter changes, where it has very quick measures of 6/8, you know, altering between 8/8 and 6/8. It's just a lot of fun. And then you have a little bit of that kind of accordion solo. In some ways, this reminds me a little bit of the Mario series, you know, particularly Sunshine, because you have so much of that accordion in that soundtrack. But just the groove, this really kind of fast bossa nova with accordion, though, it's a great kind of combination. You know, once again, in video game music, it's like, what would you actually say this genre would be outside video game music? It's hard to say. Is it bossa nova? Is it Italian? Like, what exactly is it? But it doesn't really matter, because you're in a video game and it's kind of this great fusion. All I know is that I think this is a very solid melody. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. There's only one thing in that I kind of... This section throws me for a loop because...
It really does, but I love that about
it's,
it.
Well, it's not so much the meter changes. It's that it abandons a resolution for the original A melody and mm-hmm. jumps straight into the B section. And it took me a few measures to kind of get my bearings of what
I was listening
to.
I think everybody would have that reaction. That's, I think, what they were doing. That's what they were going for. You know, it's one of those surprising things where... You know, it's like you think you know exactly what's going to happen, and all of a sudden, woo, like literally they are throwing you for a loop. And I really respect how that's done in this track, because it's just so unique, and it takes you into this new section really by surprise. And I think the new section, there's a lot to love musically. The I don't know, something about it really does it for me. And everything I'll say about this track, it's kind of more than meets the eye, because when it starts off, it kind of reminds me of old kind of crappy General MIDI, like something on our old Casio keyboard, just like really kind of over the top bluegrass that's not that great. But when the melody comes in, you're like, wow, this is beautiful. And then that other section, it's like, at first you're like, wait, what's going on? And then for me, it just multiple times it wins me over, I
right.
guess.
Totally.
Big fan of it.
Well, I'm going to play my next track, and I'm going to play another track from a Star Wars game.
Cool.
This track is composed by Mark Griske, and this is for Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Nice.
In an interview with Mark, he talked about some of his own personal favorite music that he's composed for the series, and he said his favorite was a track called Juno Eclipse. And I listened to it, and I really liked it. He was sort of describing that oftentimes in Star Wars games... the only types of John Williams themes that you get to sort of try to model and emulate are the more action themes, the very mm-hmm. kind of busy, chaotic ones, or sort of the more ambient ones. But this was like sort of one of the few times that he got to write a love theme, a romance theme.
Oh, and, nice.
I mean, I'm excited to hear it. It'll be very obvious what tracks he was influenced by, but the orchestration and everything is so tight, and it's a really lovely little melody.
Let's take a listen.
This is Juno Eclipse from The Force Unleashed. Beautiful. That was Juno Eclipse from Star Wars The Force Unleashed, composed by Mark Gorisky.
Nice
Carl,
job,
what are
Mark.
Your thoughts?
Ah, I really like that. Obviously, like you said, it's very immediately apparent what kind of the influences are. But again, this reminds me of that Yoshi story track, because it's like, let's say there's someone who has been living under a rock and isn't familiar with those themes. This is a beautiful piece of music that does stand on its own, and it does go in different directions than any of the pieces that it is being inspired by. For me, it's not just Star Wars, though. I sense some Raiders of the Lost Ark. In general, John's romantic style right. is
and
what
I think
I'm
it's definitely
here.
Orchestrated using Leia's theme
right.
as a model. But in general, that interval jump is something that John starts a lot of mm-hmm. melodies out with, and I think it's something really compelling. I mean, not often John Williams is such a genius and his melodies are so perfect, but really there's not a lot of things that you can kind of notice that.
Yeah, the great thing about
trademarks.
That particular melodic technique, the da da, is it really kind of forces the ear to be like, whoa, pay attention, this is a great melody
right.
that's about to happen, you know.
Right.
I think
it's sort of
here.
a high stakes poker game, you know, like
yep.
you really need to have a melody that can live up to almost that build up, even though obviously
yeah, and I guess in some ways the best thing I can say is this didn't disappoint me as far as like having that expectation.
Yeah, and the intervals yeah. we're talking about, five, so the fifth scale degree, and then jumping to the third. And generally when you hear the five, you're expecting it to go to the one. And
yeah.
so it goes a little bit higher than you're expecting. And it's so good mm-hmm. because the third is really such a really melodic interval to start off a melody. So it's it really works well in a lyrical piece like this. But yeah, I was just so impressed with the orchestration and how well he was able to sort of sit alongside John Williams.
What a fun project that must have been. All right, I'm excited, really excited to play a track that we've never played from a recent Sonic soundtrack. I'm going to go to Sonic Generations. And this particular track was composed by the wonderful Tomoyo Otani, who did some of the best work on Sonic Lost World. I'm just such a big, I guess, recent fan of Tomoyo Otani. I want to kind of delve into the entire discography. But we're going to play a track from, or I am going to play a track from Sonic Generations. This is Crisis City Act 2.
Thank you.
this piece of music. You guys are listening to Crisis City Act 2 from Sonic Generations by the wonderful Tomoya Otani. This is just all over the place in the best way possible. He's really playing with us and our expectations. Musically, compositionally, it's rock. It's video game kind of classic rock. But some of those rock riffs are being played with an orchestra, with cellos and violins. But then you have a techno-electronic drum and bass beat driving the whole thing. It's video game music in the best way possible. I just am a huge fan of this.
Yeah, it really reminds me of the more recent iterations of Sonic music, because it really captures that fast, lively energy and the mixture of pop and orchestral, and I guess rock to some degree, and absolutely techno.
Yeah, I gotta plead a little bit of ignorance because I'm not super familiar with every single modern Sonic soundtrack, but is this the norm nowadays? Because if it is,
I feel so. I mean, especially for the last few games, Sonic Unleashed is supposed to be a terrible game, but there's a lot of tracks that do this kind of thing.
I gotta say, if this is the norm now in Sonic, count me in. Like, I'm totally game for this kind of stuff. Like, I hope this is what continues, because the stuff that I had heard before, some of the stuff was definitely not musically as interesting as this.
I think they're sort of probably in a transitionary phase. And by transitionary, I mean on the decline and soon to be more.
That's such a great way of putting that, Will. We're going in a different direction, guys. The
that
direction that doesn't
downed.
Make Sonic games. And all.
Yeah. No, I really liked the recent Sonic soundtracks. I just think,
yeah, musically,
unfortunately, the games aren't good and Sega is losing a lot of money.
Do video games need to be good, though?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
So I'm going to play two tracks from this Japanese NES game. So this Famicom game that I discovered recently, and I'm just super in love with. I know I'm going to be playing a lot more tracks from this in the
disc
future.
Disc system or just regular Famicom?
Just regular Famicom, same, cool. You know, three channels. But the Japanese name is Tokyu Shire Soul Brain, and it translates to Super Rescue Soul Brain, which was a Japanese TV show. And that's probably why we never heard this music in the US, but it's so good. It's just quintessential video game music. It sounds sort of like classic Konami or Capcom.
Oh,
so I'm going to be playing.
Who are the composers
tracks.
Here?
The composers are Iku Mitsutani and Koyuchi Yamanishi.
Yeah, Mitsutani, he's a beast.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. So the first track that I'm going to be playing, I think it might be one of the earlier tracks that you'd hear in this game, but it's definitely the best in my opinion. Combustion Panic. Let's take a listen.
All right.
Awesome. This is Combustion Panic from Super Rescue Soul Brain. I'm not going to try with the Japanese title again. Isn't
wow.
this awesome?
This is so awesome. You're totally right about like quintessential. This is what I love about NES music.
It doesn't sound like Mega Man or something?
It's just really thoughtfully composed and the harmonies are spot on. Everything interlocks in such a natural way that when you're listening to this, almost any player, they're not going to be like, wow, this is a well-composed track. They're just going to be like, yeah, man, I want to shoot bad guys. And that's really the best thing you can hope for when you're a composer, you know, in the 80s. Is like,
you really can't get that feeling, though, unless it is a well-composed track.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here to talk about, guys. We're here to break it down for you.
Yeah, I've had a couple. I'm playing three NES tracks today, and all of them sort of would fit that bill. One of them is a track that sort of been in the ether of my brain. Like, yeah. I'd heard it a lot before in various instances, but I never knew what it was from. I had always assumed it was from, like, a Castlevania or something.
I have one NES track that I'm actually going to play us out with today, and that's been, again, in my backlog for so long. One of my favorite NES soundtracks, actually. But, Will, nice pick, man. This is really cool. And hopefully a treasure trove if we dive in and find more great
definitely.
Tracks.
Definitely.
From
what I've seen, it's really hard to get information on this soundtrack and to really find a good place to download any sort of NSF.
Sure.
So I'm going to have to do a little bit more digging. But from everything I've heard, I mean, seems like a treasure trove.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I'm really excited about this. We're going to move on to a soundtrack that we've never touched on the podcast. And I downloaded this. This is a Genesis soundtrack that I downloaded a long time ago, never really listened to, because my expectation was, oh, I think I know what this will be. And when I finally listened to it, it was way better than I was expecting. This is Shinobi 3. Mm-hmm. For the Genesis. It's not a Yuzo Koshiro involved game at all. I'm very familiar with some of his work in the series and in general, some of the other games. Right. Nothing against them. I think they're cool. But this musically really just did it for me. And I was just pleasantly surprised by this whole soundtrack.
Great.
So the composers we have on Shinobi 3 are Morihiko Akiyama, Hirofumi Murasaki, and Masayuki Nagao. And I'm going to play a track for you guys called Aidaten from Shinobi 3. This one makes me smile. This is Aidaten from Shinobi 3 for the Sega Genesis. When this melody comes in right here, it makes me smile and dance. Like, I cannot... If you put, like... if you clamped me down, the clamps would burst open. I have to dance to this. This is just great Genesis music. So many
cool
colors.
There's so much personality to that instrument, and just really a good high range melody on the Genesis. It can really have a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Something I've just been thinking about while listening to this is the Genesis sound chip, that Yamaha FM has a real physicality to it. You know, as far as a synthesizer goes, that FM sound, the bite of it, it really sounds like a physical instrument.
I know.
It sounds like strings are being plucked.
It sounds
maybe
like
they're distorted or something.
Something about it. The only way I can describe it is, like, the crispness and the fidelity of it is unlike most chip music.
Right.
Just ever. It's just so crisp.
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like sort of like a sine wave or just like a synthy kind of kind of sound to it. It really has a bite. It almost feels percussive in nature. And another thing I'm thinking, the higher range you get this FM chip, the more it starts to sound like indistinguishable from real instruments. Because like in those high ranges, our ears can't distinguish
finer one,
timbres.
A couple of the things that really stood out to me, I mean, I think that's a great melody, especially it starts off, like the first 10 seconds of that money. It's a killer melody. I mean, it doesn't necessarily keep the momentum, but for me, what I was really enjoying about this track are kind of the ways that he's orchestrating it with the rock band, because the way the drum beat comes in, you know, it's just the kick and the snare, but then halfway through, the hi-hat changes. It feels like it's an actual drummer building up the momentum. The little high bells that are going ding, 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 and then the second time, just like those little things that you kind of have to pay attention to. But for me, it was kind of rewarding my close ear on this track. All right, well, I think it's time to move on to you.
So I'm going to play another Super Rescue Soul Brain track. And just to change things up, we're going to do the Game Boy version just to change things up.
Oh, nice.
Same composers. And this track I may even like better than the last one. It's hard to say. I love all the music in this game. It's so incredible. But this track is called Stage 3.
Let's take a listen.
Is that not friggin' great?
That is killer.
Stage theme 3. I love it.
It's so, so good. Yeah, there's only a couple things that differentiate it for the NES. The wave channel, which is the triangle here, slightly different. And the noise channel, very different than NES noise.
Right.
But wow, is this a cool track. Yeah, I really am a big fan of some of the surprising chord changes. One thing that I heard in this track and the previous track, I can only assume the rest of the soundtrack, everything is very active and busy. Rhythmically, there's not one measure that if you would look at the rhythms that it's just kind of simple. It's always driving. It's always keeping the momentum going.
Right.
The momentum doesn't ever stop.
That's a good point.
It's just constant. And I think, you know, for old school video game music, it has to be constant for the most part. But how many tracks are actually constant and are musically interesting throughout the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of tracks from this game would fit that description. I'm such a big fan. I think you're really going to love it, Carl, when you take the time to listen to the soundtrack.
Awesome. And do you know if is the Game Boy identical soundtrack or is it slightly different maybe from
Again,
the
NES? I have no idea. Okay. I can't get a lot of information on this game or
we'll
this TV series.
We'll have to dig into that.
I listened to I could find the TV theme song on YouTube to make sure that that first track wasn't, you know, like a 8-bit version of it. And safe to say it's not.
The TV theme song's not quite.
Yeah.
Not quite as good as that. Cool. Well, I'm excited to move on to my next track. I'm going to play an SNES track. And this is, again, one that's been on the back burner for so very long. I've played another track from the soundtrack in a previous show and tell, but this one is, I think, my favorite from the soundtrack. It's
great.
So fun. This is the game called Twinbee Rainbow Bell Adventure. And we have some wonderful composers here. I believe Konami. We have Kenichi Matsubara, Yuki Morimoto, one of my favorites, and Saiko Miki. I'm going to play a track called Sunset Over the Hills from Twinbee. That's such a happy track. You guys are listening to Sunset Over the Hills from Twinbee Rainbow Bell Adventure. I love that main instrument. It's just so happy. This is really kind of embodying 16-bit music, like how playful, how catchy it used to be.
Right.
But from, you know, a fairly unknown game. I think this just came out for the Super Famicom, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, if it was released in North America, it definitely wasn't that popular, but what do you think about this track?
I really like it. I think it's super fun. A very cute melody. Again, kind of harkens back to some of the typical video game musical influences. Yeah, I think it's super cute.
Cool.
I think that's going to fit alongside nicely with a track that I'm going to be playing on later.
Cool. Well, Will, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is your pick for track of the week, right?
It is. I thought you were going to say track of the week, and then I remembered that I have to face
you in
battle.
It's your potential pick for track of the week.
So this is that track I was describing, the one that's sort of been in the ether for me. Okay. I'd heard this a lot. I'm very familiar with the tune. I don't know if you will have heard it before, Carl.
Try me.
But I had never known what it was from. I had always just assumed, I guess, that it was like Castlevania or Mega Man or something. Just because it sounds so very classic. Or I thought it was maybe like Battle Master or something. Okay. But it's actually from Batman Returns on the NES.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when I hear Batman Returns, I think more of the Super NES version, which was a beat-em-up. And, you know, with games like that, we've played the Game Boy version, but we've never done anything from the NES version.
Cool.
And when I was going through, you know, just trying to find new soundtracks, and I found that, and it was this theme. It's like, oh my gosh, that's a classic NES theme. How have we never played this or awesome. Talked about it? So I'm really excited to play Stage Theme 1 from Batman Returns. Stage Theme 1 from Batman Returns. God, I love
Killer.
This track.
Killer. Great choice.
We're having some breaking news here. I couldn't find the composer for this track. It's not anywhere online.
It's not online, but listed on Will's MP3, on the tags of his MP3, are two names for the composers. And I hope this is correct, because it would make me super happy to look into the rest of this soundtrack.
Accurate.
Hayato Matsuo and Takashi Tateishi. The Mega Man 2 legend.
Like I
the
said.
The kind of recluse for video game music.
Like I said, this track feels so classic to me, and I've heard it a lot.
Feels like Mega Man.
So
it's crazy.
If that's what it is, that's awesome. But I shan't hold my breath.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible Takashi Tateishi did implementation, did sound effects.
That's the thing. Hard Especially if this is Konami. He worked
but
at
let's
Konami
just,
as a sound
let's
designer.
Let's just pretend. Let's just be in a, you know, a blissful world
it's
where we're
going to
pretend. It's
definitely good enough to be a Takashi
yeah.
Tateishi track.
This is a great choice for track of the week. Yeah, no, it's fun. My choice is so very, very different from this, so it's really going to be fun to kind of pair these alongside.
What is it, a Game Boy track?
No, it's Batman 1. No, just kidding. All right, so... Nice job, Will. Now it's my turn for my pick for track of the week. This is, I'm really excited. This game came out last year. It's a mobile game composed by Nobuo Uematsu. This is Granblue Fantasy, and it has a wonderful soundtrack, and I listened to the whole thing and had a really good time with it. But this track in particular really hit me over the head. It's just a great kind of romantic, tragic piece of music, and the title of it is Tragic. The name of the song is called Tragic by Nobuo Uematsu, and there's a couple other composers he worked on the soundtrack, but this one was composed by him alone. Again, from Granblue Fantasy. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
That is gorgeous. You guys,
this is
are
a
listening.
Mobile game, you say?
Yeah. This is Tragic from Grand Blue Fantasy, composed by the wonderful Nobuo Uematsu. And yeah, this game was released for Android and iOS. Crazy. But yeah, such a beautiful piece of music. When the harmonized mandolin comes in there, it kills me. What I love about this track is it reminds me of his style, obviously, from Final Fantasy, but from the old entries, like early SNES, late NES.
Right.
But you're hearing it with real instruments. I don't know. This is a great piece of music. What do you think about this, Will?
Yeah, I really love it. It really takes sort of the stakes off of this rock, paper, scissors game when part of me is kind of rooting for this one to win.
Well, with that said, Will, I think it's time. You ready? Ready for
one
this
second.
Battle?
My cord is in a knot. I'm going to fix it. Okay, now I'm ready to go. Shoot.
Shoot.
This is funny, scoring our game. This is so sweet. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right.
Do
best
you
two
do
out
best
of three,
two out
right?
Three? Okay, so Carl got paper and I got rock.
So I won the first round.
Okay,
Will got rock and I got scissors, so it's down to this. Here we go. You ready,
okay,
Will?
Okay, here we go.
Will won this round.
Have I ever won before?
Yeah, you won last time. That's what you said last time.
Oh, wow.
Last time you were just as shocked as this time.
God, this
I think
is
at
crazy.
This point, Will, it's about even. So I don't think you can play the card of that I always win.
You always win. No, this is unique, man. Wow.
Man, that really pains me that we can't do that Grand Blue Fantasy. Just know, guys, that in my heart...
Can't
that's
we,
the true track.
Don't we
week.
Usually do something where, like, we'll post both of them on Twitter or
it's
something?
It's all or nothing. If you ain't first, you're last.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I really like Batman Returns, so we'll
that's
go with that.
This week's track of the week, which leads us to Will's next pick.
Bittersweet victory. You know, I'm happy, yeah. But I feel like I had to kill a comrade.
Would you say that track is a bittersweet symphony? I'm just kidding. We'll move on from that terrible joke.
It was so bad I forgot how to read. What's the next track here? No, I'm kidding. That was a cute joke. You should have done it last week, though. Okay,
that's so definitely not what I want to hear after a joke is that was a cute joke.
I mean, I thought it was kind of cute. So, sorry. The next track I'm going to be playing is from a game called Jetsons Invasion of Planet Pirates.
Oh, yeah, classic.
This
Never
is for
heard
the
of that.
Super Nintendo.
Okay.
And
is this good?
It's good. Here's what I'll say is I was listening to a lot of modern soundtracks to prepare for this playlist. A
right.
lot of stuff that was good, but in general, I was getting a little bit exhausted with kind of minimalism.
Sure.
And so when I stumbled upon this soundtrack and there was just kind of classic show tune-y, you know, 30s, 40s mm-hmm. harmony and melodies.
It's a breath of fresh air.
It was so satisfying. This is a really good piece of music, and okay. I love the chord changes and I love the melody. This is called Futuristic Garden, composed by Hideki Takahagi and Mitsuhiro Tanaka.
All right, let's take a listen.
This is Futuristic Garden. To me, this is the ideal for what music should be.
This is the opposite of Futuristic Garden.
I know.
This sounds
I love
like Hal Roach
so much.
To me.
Dude, exactly. That's my favorite kind of music. It's funny you mentioned Hal Roach. Recently, just on loop, I finally bought the soundtrack album for all the Laurel and Hardy music. It's like 70-odd tracks, but the
that
composer, Leroy Shield, is from Minnesota, and it's so good. It's like, that's exactly my kind of music.
Yeah,
like,
and I do know for a fact that for you and definitely for Marty, that's such a big inspiration, even for some of the stuff in Hello World. Like, when we're going for this kind of a feel, I do know that Hal Roach stuff is so inspirational for a lot of us.
That and also kind of the public domain production
yes.
music of the 40s and 50s.
Which is kind of what came next, kind of the next evolution right. of that kind of music. But yeah, oh, that stuff is so happy and playful. I love it. Nice job, Will. Well, we're getting close to the end here. I'm going to play a track from another Game Boy game. This is Zoids Denetsu. And Zoids is a series of games where you control large robots. That's what the Zoids are. And this was composed by Kenichi Tamazawa. Really cool. I had to watch a playthrough to see what track this was. This is stage 5, I found out, from Zoids Denetsu. Let's take a listen. This is a cool track. You guys are listening to Stage 5 from Zoids Denetsu for the Game Boy, composed by Kenichi Tamazawa. A very obscure game. I was just going on Zofars and looking at all the Game Boy and just kind of trying to find something that caught my eye. And I probably downloaded, I don't even know how many that were just kind of run-of-the-mill, and then this was finally one where I got to it, and I was like...
That's great.
Yeah.
This That's a fun story. Me.
What do you think about this as far as, like, you're just having the arpeggio and the melody, but you can definitely tell what the chord progression is. What are your thoughts on this kind of technique of 8-bit writing where you have very fast arpeggios so it feels like a fuller chord?
I think it works to create an elaborate chordscape, I guess you'd say. But it only works for a certain type of music because all that rhythmic subdivision creates sort of an undeniable pulse, which, if intentional, can be incredibly effective, but if unintentional, can be very busy because all those moving lines really attract the ear in a way that they wouldn't on the piano. You know, if you have the piano and you hold the sustain pedal on, you can just sort of create a texture. But with 8-bit music, each voice is monophonic, so when you start the next pitch, you're eliminating the other pitch, so you get so much attack that it's kind of more like a string instrument, like a cello doing a run like that, which is much more striking.
Absolutely. No, that was a really cool discovery, and glad I found that Game Boy soundtrack. Yeah, Will.
It's funny. My last track is going to be a stark contrast from that, but this is something I put in kind of for you because this is sort of a little bit of nostalgic memory that I have with you. I was playing this game with my roommate a couple months back. Again, this is a game that you and I played a lot, Castle Crashers.
Oh, yeah.
And the cool thing about Castle Crashers is the music is done by a lot
remixers.
Of different people.
Yeah, amateur remixers. Artists.
Paragon X9 actually did a couple tracks. This track, though, is nothing like most of the music in the game. This is the map theme, and I always thought it was funny because it's such a stark contrast. The game is just like a gruesome
kind of beat 'em
up. Yeah, I think
in season one, we played a track from Castle Crashers in the forest episode.
Yeah, absolutely. So
this is the map theme music.
Yeah, this track is called Flutie World Map, and this is composed by Will Stamper.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us on Show and Tell 15. We always have such a good time with this because, you know, it's always fun to be introduced to great video game music. And, you know, each of us has to do a lot of work to find this stuff. But when Will's playing his tracks, there's just a really fun feeling of just sitting back and knowing that you're about to hear something really good.
Yeah.
And I think Will enjoys that same thing.
Well, and that you've never heard it before and that it's brand new. It's kind of cool.
And hopefully that's the feeling you guys experience every week with the show. That's what we want.
You guys probably take it for granted. But we have to usually prepare a lot. So it's kind of fun to have this, you know, you're getting our live spontaneous reaction to this stuff.
And hopefully it wasn't a train wreck. So
it usually isn't.
Yeah, no, guys, I really want you guys to stick with us because next week I'm excited.
You personally want
all of them, yeah. all of you, to stick with us.
Absolutely. I know that Will and myself couldn't be more excited for next week's topic. We're doing a spotlight on Gravity Rush.
Oh, God. Yes.
A long time coming, so that's going to be an absolute blast.
I cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the other cool thing, we've never done a show and tell apart, you know, for the last few
You're
months.
Right.
This whole year, really.
Yeah,
I've
Will's
been
on spring break this week.
So yeah.
So we're in the same room.
Welcome back for me, everyone. Hi.
We mentioned that at the
and
end of the
gone.
Episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys didn't hear the room
we've
sound.
Never we've never done a show and tell episode apart from each other. So that's kind of a cool little tradition.
Let's hope that continues. Absolutely. It's I can't imagine doing it.
Yeah, I don't know how we do it.
So I want to play you guys out with my last pick. This is from Akamaju Special. This is Calling Tiffany by Shinji Tasaka and Sakato Minami. Very kind of devious piece of music. We announced very recently Hello World will be released on April 14th, 2015.
Yeah.
So less than a month
away.
For
those of you that don't know, that is our original double album that pays tribute to the music of Super Mario World and Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. It's going to be our final tribute album like this, you guys. So
yeah, that's
we really
just,
hope you like it.
Just over 3 weeks away from when this episode goes up. So yeah, we can't wait for you guys to hear it. Once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.